A lot of the things that are written in the book of Daniel, George, parallel the prophecies in the apocalypse. And at the end of these apocalyptic writings written by Daniel, and he dictated what was written to him by a man. This man's name was Gabriel, a spirit man, what mm-hmm. we call an angel, but he's actually a man, a messenger, or an agent. And at the end of the book of Daniel, Daniel said to this man, Gabriel, he said, look, what do all these prophecies mean, and when are they going to take place? And Gabriel said to him, more or less said, mind your own business. He said, the prophecies are sealed up until the time of the end. And he said, in the end times, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And he said, so he said that they were sealed up until the times of the end, and in the times of the end, knowledge would be increased. Now, I believe we're into the end times scenario now. We're in what we're seeing now with the wars, famines, earthquakes, diseases, immorality, lawlessness, strides towards a one-world government. Everything we're seeing in the world, the weird stuff, are shadows of the coming apocalypse. That's what they are.
Patrick, isn't it true, though, that past civilizations, and I'm talking about eons back, they all thought that they were in apocalyptic times?
Yes, a lot of them did, George, and, a lot of them. Somebody was telling me recently about a group some years ago called Millerites, that they all said, he's going to come at 6 minutes past 12 tonight, and they all dressed in white robes, and they went up to the top of the mountain, These guys called Millerites, and I said, what were they doing up there, drinking Miller? They were looking at their 6 minutes past 12. Hey, it's Miller time, but he didn't come. So one thing you don't do is you don't make dates. You don't say it's going to definitely happen here then, because it says no man knows the hour or the day, only the Father. But the main sign with regards to being in the end times has to do with the fact that the Jews are back in Israel. I mean, there was a bunch of guys in Dublin in the mid-1800s who studied eschatology, which is the technical name for prophecy about the end times. One of them was a guy called Grattan Guinness, and he was one of the actual Guinness family. They're the guys who make those pints of black beer that we drink over there that we all get addicted to, or you will get addicted to if you go there and drink it. It's a bit like mother's milk. I'm missing it already because I'm talking to you from Idaho, by the way. But these guys were saying in the mid-1800s that the Jews were going to be restored to their homeland, to Palestine again, and everybody laughed them to scorn. I have another book beside me here by a guy called Clarence Larkin, which was published in 1918 in the United States here. He was an architect who went into the ministry, and he says in this book that I have here that the Jews are going to be resettled and they're going to return to Israel again. And in 1948, lo and behold, in one day, and it prophesied that this would happen in one day, the Jews were returned to Israel and became a nation for the first time in almost 2,000 years. Now, first of all, it was prophesied many, many times that the Jews would be kicked out of Palestine and Israel, scattered to the four corners of the world. Everywhere they'd go, they would be despised and persecuted and hated. And that happened in 70 AD when a guy called Titus, a Roman general, went in to sack Jerusalem. He put down an insurrection, slaughtered about 1 million Jews. The rest were scattered to the four corners of the world, hence the wandering Jew. Everywhere they went, they'd been persecuted and despised, which culminated in the Holocaust in Germany in the Second World War, when millions of them were murdered and gassed. But there's many, many other prophecies that say in the last days that God would regather his people and establish them in Israel and Palestine again, and he would do this as a sign that we were in the last trial of the dice, the last days. And that happened in one day in May 1948. Now Israel is the center of the universe. There's 5.5 million Jews there. World peace is contingent upon what happens in this tiny piece of land.
And that is the key of past civilizations. They never had that... Israel will become a nation or state part of the prophecy.
No.
We did.
They didn't. We have that now. We're looking at that now. You switch on your television tomorrow and you see, trouble, another bomb going off in Tel Aviv planted by the Palestinians, and there's trouble between the Jews, go out and shoot a bunch of Palestinians. We are watching that prophecy coming to pass. We are that generation. And it says in Matthew 24, when it gives a whole list of these signs of the end times, of the coming Messiah of the Parousia, it talked about the parable of the fig tree, and the fig tree is a metaphor, a figure of speech for Israel. It says, when you see the shoots coming out, you'll know that the time is near. And we are looking at that. Not only do we have all these signs, George, which we may talk about, wars, famines, earthquakes, diseases, the wind and the sea raging. It says in Luke 21, nations in perplexity and anxiety at the roaring and tossing of the sea. I mean, if we didn't see that last year with the tsunami in Asia, and with all the sea raging down in the, off your eastern coast, then I don't know what is a prophecy. But you put that together with the fact that the Jews are back in Israel and the stuff is brewing up there. I mean, that is where it says Jerusalem is the rock on which the whole world is going to perish.
Well, what are the trigger points, Patrick, that for prophecy that haven't happened yet, but signs that we can watch for? Is there anything out there?
What are they?
Yeah.
You're going to have an increase in famines, an increase in earthquakes, an increase in diseases, an increase in immorality and lawlessness, wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation.
Well, that I think is happening. I think we're doing that now. But what I'm saying is what part of the end times prophecy says some things that haven't occurred yet? What are those things?
Well, I don't think it says anything. The only things are the finer points with regard to this guy, this political leader rising up, and all the things that are going to happen in the book of Revelation. But that's still future. Now, it's near future, in my opinion.
I mean, are we going to get zapped by an asteroid or something that they predict?
One of the things it says in Revelation chapter 8, I think it talks about, it says when John wrote this, he said he saw what looked like a burning mountain cast into the sea, and a third of the ships were destroyed, and a third of the things living in the sea were destroyed. And I think, you know, if something's going to hit the sea and cause a third of the ships to be destroyed, it's either an asteroid or it's La Palma or some volcano that's going to fall into the sea. As you know, La Palma in the Canary Islands, the scientists say it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when this falls into the sea.
And if it cracks and falls the right way, it could be one heck of a tsunami.
Yeah, they're talking about a tsunami maybe 500 feet high that travels at the speed of a jet airliner, would be maybe 150 feet high when it hits the east coast of the United States, not to mention the Gulf of Mexico, Africa, Greece, Europe, and you're talking about a third of the ships being destroyed, you know?
With a force that could knock down some buildings.
Well, I mean, you're talking about an incredible thing. The tsunami that hit Asia was only 15 feet, 20 feet high in places. They're talking about something 500, starting out at 500 feet high.
Oh, my. Can you imagine that?
That's heavy duty, but now, all of a sudden, that's not such a ridiculous prophecy anymore. And, you know, when the Messiah talked about all these signs, he said it was going to be like a woman in labor pains. You know, as you get closer to it, the pains increase, they become more intense, more labored, and until, you know, there's sort of a bloody rebirth, and that's what the earth is going to go through.
So well, but
all these things except more of them.
But after the rebirth, it's kind of an enlightening period, at least for the mother and the child.
Yes, it is, and that's what's going to happen after the end of this apocalypse, when the earth is reborn into paradise regained, as it were.